If we look back to midnight and the minute before, we can't find the moment that it changed. I imagine you can sit up and watch New Year's fireworks around the clock, around the planet, from time zone to time zone. And even if you looked at each of those hours and looked at each of those minutes and looked at each of those seconds going up to midnight on each of those nights, you'd never find the moment when 2014 became 2015. But here we are in a new year, all the same. And it gives us an opportunity, at least, sort of an arbitrary marker in time to look at, you know, what makes our life meaningful. We can look at the experiences we had last year and the difficulties, the challenges of ourselves, and think, every suffering I experienced is a result of my own past negative action. We can look at the difficulties of the people around us, people in the news, and let our compassion arise for the situation that all of us are in, experiencing the result of our past actions and not really knowing how to change the course of things. And we can reflect on the kindness that we received in the last year. Every single day of 2014, we experienced the kindness of other living beings, and mostly didn't even notice. And sort of take the opportunity to really see our interdependence, to recognize that we're in the same boat with everyone in terms of wanting happiness so badly, wanting to avoid any hassle whatsoever. And seemingly, helplessly running towards creating more and more causes for that. And yet here, as we look at this amazing opportunity to delve into Aryadeva's teaching that has continued forward from, you know, century upon century upon century, his only wish was to illuminate our minds, to help us overcome the darkness of ignorance that prevents us from seeing things as they are. And so to take that opportunity tonight in the new year, to really use it while we have it, because the other thing that a new year brings is it brings us closer to our death. So to really make a renewed commitment to take to heart and recognize and really appreciate the kindness of the living beings. To deepen our commitment to cultivate our good qualities and really bring about the wisdom as much as we can in order to understand how to benefit ourselves and all others. And to do it with a joyful heart that recognizes that we create causes. And these causes definitely ripen in the future, as is so clear from this chapter 11 of Aryadeva's text. So may we really take this opportunity, sharpen our wisdom, open our hearts, and may every day of 2015 be a day in which we can practice cultivating bodhicitta and focus our hearts on complete awakening for the benefit of all beings. So let's listen with that in mind, or share with that in mind tonight. So we're continuing chapter 11 quiz in Aryadeva's 400 stanzas, middle way. We have guests tonight, so just to fill you in a little bit, this review is from chapter 11 of a 16-chapter text that is slowly, gradually been building us up towards better building a foundation and then kind of driving our understanding towards a really understand the nature of reality. And we've really been going through these chapters of refuting inherently existent phenomena or permanent phenomena. So seeing that we've been on this thing for 11 chapters and you're here for the first time, it may not make any sense to you whatsoever. But it might, actually. And we'll also plant some seeds for the future. So thank you for being here. I also want to just do the disclaimer that I did at the end of the session last week. This is not a teaching. This is a quiz. It is a quiz review. And also to remind, you know, I was thinking about this afternoon and to remind all of us, actually whether we get the answers right or not is not the point of this. I mean, it's good if we do. It is on video, after all. But the fact that, you know, that we have, at least people here, and I know the people who have been watching every week, have been chewing on this and thinking about it and trying to understand it and trying to pull out what did Aryadeva mean? What did Venerable Children mean? How does this apply to my life? How does this make sense? That's the whole point of this whole quiz process. So to the extent that we understand, we'll convey that. To the extent that we don't, well, let's create the causes so that, I mean, that is creating the causes so that someday we will. And as we go through the quiz, we will do our very best to, get it right, but really to try to understand and help each other to do that. Last week we got through question 4. There are 16 questions. And Venerable Children will be back for the next Thursday teaching. So I would like to get through all the questions tonight, all the remaining questions. So we'll spend a lot less time going into the text than I did last week. I think we can get away with doing that. There are a couple of things that I wanted to review and also some things that I found. One source has, His Holiness the Dalai Lama was quoting Chandrakirti's commentary on the Aryadeva text. I don't know if that's in English. I kind of doubt that it is. But he said, just to give us a sense of, so we're looking at the refuting truly existent functional phenomena. That's the chapter that we're on. Truly existent functional phenomena, and we're specifically looking at refuting the existence of truly existent time. And the functional phenomena is something that functions, that performs a purpose. You know, and chiefly, it is something that gives rise to an effect. So a functional phenomena is something that arises due to causes and then also produces effects, right? So things like telephones are functional phenomena, bells, all forms. Consciousnesses are functional phenomena, and even composites like the person are functional phenomena, changing moment by moment by moment by moment by moment by moment by moment. So impermanent and changing. So this quote from Chandrakirti said, "The past is what has passed beyond just this present time. The present has been produced, but has not ceased. The future is what has not come at the present time." Seems very clear. Even though the present is what exists now, we cannot speak of it except in relation to the past and the future. So saying that the present has been produced, which we say, puts it in relationship to the past, saying it has not yet ceased, places it in relation to the future. So right away, we're talking about function, phenomenon. On the other hand, we think that things, I mean, if we just don't think about how we think, we actually think that things do exist permanently, solidly, and that the past and future do too. So we don't think they depend on other factors. So I'm finding it really helpful to dig into this and look at all the ways, many, many different ways that this looking at refuting truly existent past and future affects my understanding of how things are in the world. So I'm finding it's juicy. We start right off the bat also with a question about the Jigpa, which I also thought we could review quickly. Again, from another source. This Jigpa having ceased, a noun, having ceased, or the having happened, I believe, is the other thing the Venerable Children use. Whether we speak of it in terms of actions or objects, having ceased is the state of something having ceased after being produced. That's pretty clear. It's an event, an action, or an object not having endured. The action no longer exists, and its having ceased is its having disintegrated. This is a beautiful quote. This is His Holiness. So what is here now is related to what was before, right? What is here now? It's related to what was before, but they're not the same. This person sitting here is not the same person that was sitting in the chair last week. She's related closely, not exactly the same. And then he says, for conditioned things to be is to be continuously disintegrating. I think we should tattoo that on our arms and foreheads. For conditioned things to be is to be continuously disintegrating. Us, you, the house, the fire, the water, the cup, the video, the camera, to be a conditioned thing is to be continuously disintegrating. Phew. Even the having ceased disintegrates, and it is this arising, this disintegration, this having ceased that's what connects, giving away to another having ceased. Right? So that's where we are with the Jigpa. So question 5. Why do the Satrantikas, Chittamatrans, the lower schools, say the Jigpa of a pot and a future pot are permanent? Why do they say that?
Well, the reason is when something is the future, it's just the future. And the future is totally distinct from the present. So the present is impermanent and changing, but something that is in the future can only be the future.
So something that's in the future is the future.
They would say that the future is permanent.
They would say the future is permanent.
And the reason is when something is the future, it's just the future.
It's totally distinct from the present. It's just the future, and so it's a permanent phenomenon. What do you think?
Makes sense to me.
What'd you get?
Similar. I actually, Venerable Tarpa actually got this from Cutting Through Appearances. We found some other sources that are succinct. A pastness and a futureness are both permanent because they are mere absences and do not undergo change. Right? This makes total sense to me. They're mere absences. The future, you know, like you said, the future is the future. It doesn't exist. It's not a form, it's not a phenomenon that you can put your hand around. It's like out there somewhere. It's a mere absence. The past. It's over. It has ceased. Done. Doesn't exist. It's not a tangible thing that you can put your hands on. It's over. It's a concept. That's what I kept going to. It's a conceptual appearance. which makes it a permanent phenomenon. The futureness of an object is a mere absence that is due to the non-completion of contributing causes. Consequently, they are permanent. I want to go to this thing with Jeffrey. So, it just so happened, because people may know that we have a wonderful course weekly with Dr. Jeffrey Hopkins. And it just so happened that we're studying tenets with him, and it just so happened that we got to the past, present, and future, the three times, in the Sautrantika school last week. And he said some things that were really helpful for this quiz. So I want to just repeat from Jeffrey. He says, if you broke a pot, the brokenness of the pot is due to having broken it with a hammer or whatever. So it's a caused phenomenon. The state of its having been broken, its pastness, is something caused. It's not a mere absence. But its pastness is not some kind of pot. Its pastness is not even the pieces of the pot, but it's something created by the breaking of the pot. But it's not a material phenomenon. And he says, I guess because it's not a material phenomenon, these lower systems can't fit it in their minds that it could be created. So, like somebody died due to starvation, you have to say their death was caused, whereas the lower systems would say that person is having died is a mere absence of life, and so it's permanent. So, like, totally clear. And there's another place that I pulled out because I was trying to cut back on material, where Venerable's quoting from the verses where she says, people who don't understand transitoriness posit this kind of permanent past and future. So that's where that's coming from. Make sense? Comments online? Is anybody there? Okay. Question number, oh my gosh, forgive me. You have to see this paper. It's like got all these different colors, so I know where I'm going. Page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Okay, question 6. How do the Prasangikas define future pot, present pot, past pot? Hello?
The future pot has yet to arise. The parts that will make up that pot are not the future pot. They're the current existing parts to a pot, so they're not it.
Yeah.
Okay. Present, the pot that currently exists in dependence on this part, parts in the mind labeling it. Past, the pot that has ceased, and then so notice the parts of a broken pot are not the past pot, they're the currently existing parts of a broken pot.
Okay, say it again so I can repeat it.
Okay, the whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay, future. The pot that is yet to arise.
The future is the pot that is yet to arise.
And the parts that will make up that pot are not the future pot, and the currently existing parts to a pot.
And the parts that make up that that pot that have not arisen are not the future pot.
Correct.
Right, okay.
Present, the pot that currently exists in dependence on its parts and the mind labeling it.
Okay, the present, the pot that currently exists, its parts and the mind's labeling it. Yeah.
The past, the pot that is ceased, and just as in the future pot, the pots, the parts of the broken pot are not the past pot. They're the currently existing parts of the broken pot.
Okay, and so the past pot is the pot that has ceased. The parts of the past pot, like the broken shards of the pot, are not the past pot. Pretty good. What else you got?
Past and future are functioning things that change. So the future pot is a functioning thing. It is something that exists, but it is the non-completion of conditions for its arising, given that those causes for its arising exist.
Okay, so the future pot, this is getting closer, it's a factor of non-arising of the pot due to the non-completion of its conditions, even though the causes for its arising exist. Very close.
The pot exists because all of the causes for it exist, We just haven't come together.
Right. The future pot exists. All the causes, because all the causes exist, they just haven't come together yet. So it's this factor of the non-completion of its conditions. But the future pot is, just as Clinton said, the future pot is not the stuff.
Like the future cake isn't the ingredients, just waiting right. to come together.
Okay, what else you got?
The present has two conditions, present. We're talking about pots or cakes?
Pots.
Pots?
Well, we can go with cake.
So, it's not a past thing. It's neither a past pot, it's not a factor of the future, some other thing. So the present pot has been produced, but it has not ceased.
Yes.
The present pot is a positive phenomenon. So the present pot is a pot.
Okay. So the present pot is a pot that has arisen. It has not ceased. Neither is it a having ceased nor a future thing. It is a positive phenomena. It has attained its entity, is one of the phrases, right? It's a pot. Present pot's a pot. Okay. Past pot.
The past is the having happened or having ceased of what was once in the present. So when the present pot disintegrates, it becomes a having ceased. It's
okay.
A functioning phenomenon. It is not permanent. It occurs after the present. And the future occurs before the present.
The past pot is a factor of having ceased of the pot that has already arisen. The pot's having ceased is the past pot. It's a functioning phenomenon, and you had something... Not permanent. It occurs after the present pot. Yeah? Got anything else?
One thing to add to that. A future pot is a potential pot that causes are there, but it's not yet manifest. And then if one of the changes, one of the conditions change, it may not become a present pot.
That's right. If one of the conditions change, it may not become a pot. So it's not like a predestination or a predetermined something-something that ensures the pot will arise. Yeah, good. Okay, no need to linger. Then why does the future pot exist first in the present pot, then the past pot?
For a short answer.
Short answer is?
The pot's cause is the future pot.
The pot's cause is the future pot.
Future pot becomes the cause of the present pot.
The future pot becomes the cause of the present pot.
The pot's effect is the past pot.
The pot's effect is the past pot.
So once the pot has arisen and ceased, what do you get?
Once the pot has arisen and ceased, what do you get?
The past.
The jupot, the pot, the past pot. Sound right?
That's something slightly different.
What you got?
The future pot exists first because the future pot is the one that has not yet arisen.
The future pot exists first because the future pot is the one that has not arisen.
Before something can arise, can exist in the present, it must first be not to have arisen.
Before something can exist in the present, it has to have not arisen.
This means that the conditions for the arising of the pot are not complete, given that the causes for its arising do exist.
This means that the conditions for the pot's arising are not complete, given the fact that its conditions do exist.
When the causes for the future pot come together, they bring the result of the present pot.
When the causes for the future pot come together, they bring the result of the present pot.
So the future pot becomes the cause of the present pot. But once the pot has arisen and ceased, that's where you get the past pot. So
okay.
The present pot is the cause for the past pot.
Present pot's cause for the past pot. Yeah.
So it's this whole idea about this, the future pot exists first because the future pot is the one that has not yet arisen. You have to have this not yet arisen of a pot to bring it into existence. It doesn't come out of nowhere.
Yeah. So here's where Jeffrey's thing was so simple and clear. I'm going to share that too. So when we can do it with a cake, or we can just do it with yesterday, which is what he did. He said yesterday passed. P-A-S-S-E-D. Yesterday passed. So first, yesterday occurred. And then it passed. So its present occurred before its past. Then if we think about the day before yesterday, yesterday was the future on the day before yesterday. So yesterday's future occurred before its present, and then its present occurred, and then it passed. So same with our cakes here. Cake occurred, and then somebody ate it, and it passed. But the day before the cake was made, there was the future cake. Then the cake got made, and it got eaten, and it was passed. So the future, present, past, in that order. But the thing to keep remembering is only the present cake is a cake.
But the other two are functioning phenomena.
The other two are functioning phenomena, permanent functioning, that have an effect.
And they have an effect.
What's the effect? A cake.
And they exist.
And they exist.
But
only that present cake is a cake.
Which is not permanent.
Which is also not permanent. It's about to come a past cake anyway. So, you know, this, I mean, the effect of this, I don't know what this is doing to your minds, but for me, this thing about, you know, the Jigpa of something moving forward, I think about, what's the Jigpa of Aryadeva's 400? You know, I mean, here it is still hundreds and hundreds of years later having an impact on my feeble mind, which is trying to, like, penetrate the teaching from his teacher, Nagarjuna, from the Buddha. It's amazing. It's like somehow this, it makes, to me, it's making all this much more alive without making it substantial.
But, and the happy ceaseness of him teaching that.
Yeah.
Still, make, look at how relevant the happy ceaseness of Aryadeva's 400 standards is right, you know.
Right.
Bringing a result, bringing these continual results.
Right, right. You know, example that Guy Newland used when he was here was like Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. You know, Martin Luther King died a long time ago. You could say, oh, well, it's a non-existent phenomena if you were thinking from the lower school's point of view. It's, you know, he's done. He's ceased. But the continuity of what, I mean, his impact continues. So, you know, the pastness continues to move forward and have an effect even to this day. It's very powerful thinking. That means somehow, for me, it puts a lot of energy into, wow, creating causes makes a difference. It does make a difference to do our small, virtuous actions. It does make a difference when you slide by and do a little slimy action and don't really think about confessing it. You know, the effect of those causes is actually something you can really see if you think about it in terms of these kinds of examples. So that's quite inspiring. Okay, anything else on question, wherever we are? Six.
There's a question on.
Yeah.
What's the past pot cause for?
What is the past pot a cause for? What's the effect of the past pot? Well, I suppose, you know, it kind of depends on what the phenomenon is. Like the past pot of Martin Luther King, for example, is a cause for, well, to be really flippant, a national holiday. But, you know, look at what the effort that he's had. So a past pot is not going to have the same kind of effect that the past Indira Gandhi had.
Past King would be a few pounds extra.
Yeah.
Past pot might be the cause for rubble.
Yeah, the cause for rubble, exactly. The whatever's the melts down and becomes the past pot of the that pot that we keep burning oatmeal in. Do we still use it? Is it a past pot yet? You know, we went through a series of, maybe it was before your time here, we went through a series of really burning the heck out of an oatmeal pot numerous times. That is definitely, you know, what's the result of that? Some metal in the Well, not just metal in the oatmeal, but metal in the recycling, metal recycling.
So, this is my question.
Yeah.
That, so, the past pot, in that instance, is not the rubble, right?
That's right. That's true. The
so
past pot's not the rubble.
Some other cause.
The continuity of the pot is the rubble, but the past pot is... has an effect. What's the effect on a past pot?
It's got some effect on your mind. I think that was a good pot.
Yeah.
Yeah,
or you know that pan that still was my great grandmother's, that she made cornbread for my great grandfather every single day of their married life, is still at the Abbey.
Who came up with the terms past pot and present and future pot? Was that all?
Who came up with the terms past pot?
Was that hard?
I don't know.
Or is he talking about another school that came up?
I don't know. The pot is the example of this functioning phenomenon that's used throughout all of them. Who made it up? I have no idea.
He's dealing with past, present, future, just puts an object that's common in the Tibetan culture I'm using as an example.
Right, but to call it an object, past object and present object. Present object, I see. Past and future are these, I don't know, it seems like a lot of different words. Aryeh says, to say something which will be made to occur already exists is unreasonable.
To say something which has been made to occur.
Which will be made to occur.
Already exists. Right, and that's from the point. To say something which will occur, already exists, is unreasonable. But he's referring to the Vaibhashikas, I think, or maybe the Samkhyas, who are saying that the future pot already exists in the pot. I mean, their whole, and this is a lot of what all this refutation is this belief that the pot, somehow the pot is still existing in the present. The future pot is existing in the present pot, just unmanifest. That's the Samkhya view. And that there's somehow it will manifest, and the past pot still exists somewhere. But, you know, in that case, though, it's all... it is absurd. Past pot already exists, then it exists. It's not going to be the future pot like that. That's what that verse is about, I think. And that kind of leads us to the next question. Is the future pot a pot? We just answered that. Is the present pot a pot?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is the past pot a pot?
No.
Why or why not? Short answer.
The present pot is form.
Present pot is form.
Past and future pots are abstract composites.
Past and future pots are abstract composites.
Mm-hmm. We can go back to what the future pot was.
Only the present pot has achieved its own entity. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. The past pot has ceased. The future pot has yet to arise. It's an absence due to the non-fulfillment of the conditions to make it present. Let's see. Venerable was reviewing this again. Let's see if there's anything else in here.
Or only the present pot functions as a pot.
Yeah, only the present pot is functioning as a pot. We got time. Let's do this. So she said, okay, again, let's go through this again. We're talking about, because we had to go through it a few times, we're talking about past, present, and future. In terms of any one object, the future comes first, because the future is not what has arisen, but the causes for it to arise, to exist. The cake we'll have tomorrow is a future cake. So the future cake exists before the present cake because it's tomorrow's cake. Tomorrow's cake is not a real cake. It's not a cake at all. When we say tomorrow's cake or future cake, we're talking about a cake that has not yet arisen. But the causes for it to arise do exist. So first there's a future cake. And tomorrow, somebody bakes the cake, and then we have the present cake. Then somebody eats the cake. Or maybe a lot of people eat the cake, let's hope. Then it becomes the past cake. A cake that has arisen and then has already ceased. The present cake is the only thing that's really a cake. The future hasn't happened. The past is already over, just as you said. What we call the past and future are not future cakes at all. They are affirming negatives. Clear?
So if you have a cake that you baked already,
yeah,
and it's going to keep through till tomorrow without us all eating,
yeah,
then is the present cake the cause of the future cake?
It's still the present cake.
If we have a present cake,
as long as it's still cake, it's still a present cake.
Generally
speaking, now it's also changing moment to moment. It's now a stale present cake.
It's holding its entity.
Yeah. It's still holding its entity.
But if it's going to be there in an hour, then an hour later, that's the future cake we're looking at, if it's going to be there an hour or not.
If it's not made yet,
Well, no.
If it's already made, then it's not. Then on one level, it is. Its future is coming. And it's still existing.
Because it's not the same cake in an hour.
No, it's arising and ceasing moment by moment.
So then that cake now is, and there's a future cake in an hour, the present cake is the cause of the future cake. One of the causes.
I think that what you're confusing that with where we're getting into about looking at the past, present, and future in relation to the cake itself. In relation to the cake, you're right. That cake has a future that's going to be stale in a little bit of hours. But in terms of looking at past, present, and future, it's holding its entity. It's still a present cake.
The relationship implies that there is an existing cake that you're related to.
Right.
The way they're talking, it's like you get an idea to cook a cake. So that idea in your mind, that's the future cake. And you make it, it's present, you eat it.
Yeah. Right.
But that cake's changing moment by moment.
Yes, so the right. Cake is changing moment by moment, no doubt about it.
A cake that might be there in an hour, that is.
Yes,
cake.
To be is to be disintegrating moment by moment, or whatever His Holiness said that I thought was so great. Same is true.
So even if we don't eat the cake, in an hour, the cake we were looking at now is past.
Right, even you don't eat the cake in an hour, the cake that we were looking at is past, but the present cake is still existing.
Until it's eaten or smashed,
broken, disintegrated, gone.
So it's
the ants walk away with it, whatever. Yeah. Okay, can we go on?
Yeah, I guess I was just thinking of it along the lines that things don't just arise, abide, along.
No, things don't just arise, abide, and cease. I mean, so actually this, I don't have the notes from it. This is about what we talked about the last time, about this thing about arising, abiding, aging, and ceasing all occurring within that single moment. So there isn't like it goes arise, abide, cease. Arise, abide, cease. The whole process is happening moment by moment by moment, so that change is definitely happening. No question.
But this is just talking about a different mental construct.
Right.
Right.
So it's a different paradigm. But
yeah. I mean,
it's a different way of looking at it.
It's not looking at how the cake exists. And the nature of the cake itself is more looking at how it comes into existence and how it ceases from existence, which are two separate concepts, or like constructs of understanding.
And it's not really about the cake. It's about past, present, and future. It's about the refuting the true existence of past, the true existence of present, and the true existence of future. That's the point.
That's what you're really going to be.
I think of all this time, we've only gotten one cake over all these months. Of course, I wasn't here all this time. Okay, question 9. What is an affirming negative? What is a non-affirming negative?
The future pot is an affirming negative.
The future pot is an affirming negative.
It's negating something at the same time it's affirming something.
Negating something at the same time it's affirming something.
So the future pot eliminates the pot having risen already.
the next question. The future pot eliminates pot having arisen already.
And it implies that the future pot is a functioning thing, that is the non-completion you've already had, the non-completion of the conditions for its arising.
And implies that the future pot is a functioning thing, that is the non-completion of its arising.
So it's eliminating one thing, which is eliminating that the pot is already, or the cake is already arisen, and at the same time, it's implying that there is a future pot, a future cake or pot that is a functioning thing that's changing.
So it's eliminating that the cake has already arisen and implying that the, what'd you say?
That the future cake is a functioning thing.
That the future cake
is the cause of the present cake.
Functioning thing that is the cause of the present cake. Okay. So I would say the pot is an example or maybe an instance. I'm not sure about the correct language, but that is what an affirming negation does. Do you have anything else?
Just another example of what that is, the phrase, a hillless plateau.
Yes, a hillless
something
plateau.
Something being affirmed and something being
or that example that they always use about fat Devadatta does not eat in the daytime. Right? Which implies, because he's human, he must eat.
He must eat at night.
And I was playing with that. Do you have to have the fat part? But you do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the implication for. Yes. So the textbook definition is, an affirming negation is a negation in which a positive phenomena is applied after negating something else. A phenomenon that is realized by mind that explicitly eliminates the phenomena's object of negation and that indirectly realizes a positive phenomenon. What you said is a lot clearer to me. A non-affirming negation.
Mere absence of the object of negation.
The mere absence of the object of negation.
Nothing positive is implied.
Nothing positive is implied.
And one is left with mere absence or emptiness.
And one is left with a mere absence for English. So explain, which we just went through, why the past pot and the future pot are affirming negatives. What does each one affirm? What does each one negate? So we talked about what the future cake affirms and negates. What does the past cake affirm and negate?
What it negates is it eliminates a pot.
Pots, cakes.
Whatever it is. It eliminates a pot not having disintegrated, which means the pot has disintegrated, and implies that the disintegration of the pot occurs in dependence on the pot.
Okay, so it eliminates the pot not having disintegrated, in other words, it has disintegrated, and it implies or affirms that the disintegration occurs in dependence on the pot. You can't have a disintegrating pot unless you have a pot. You can't have a disintegrating cake unless you have a cake. Let's see, should we go to this? No, I think not. We'll keep moving. Oh, what's the bonus? There is a bonus question. Explain then what the present pot is in relation to it. I think it's useful. Because in that context, then, to just confirm or reaffirm that the present is not an affirming negation, it is a positive phenomenon. And it has two conditions, which we said before. It is neither a jigpa, meaning the factor of having ceased, and it is also the fact the present has arisen but has not yet ceased. So, anyway, keep those things in mind. Okay, relate this discussion to your past life, present life, and future life. Let's get to something really personal here. Forget the pot. Relate this discussion to your past life, present life, future life. Is all your present life occurring in the present?
Probably what you have. Anyone else want to go?
Is your past life occurring in the present?
Yes.
All of your, I mean,
it says, is all of,
is
your,
all
present
of your present life occurring
in
the present?
Present.
Yes.
Yes. All of my present life is occurring in the present, yes.
Really?
It's changing moment by moment, arising.
Of course, the present is already gone, so.
Can we ask that again?
What do you think?
Well, we're talking about jhikha, right?
It says all of your present life.
It's all of your present life. It's all of your present life occurring in the present.
No.
Question.
I don't think it is.
I don't think so either.
Because it's just the way that's worded.
It's the way it's worded. It's all
yeah,
of your present
all
life sounds like a permanent phenomenon.
Yeah. And so then she's moving into the how your present life exists, as opposed to how it came into existence.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, yeah. So what Jim said is she's moving into, the questions are moving into how your present life exists as opposed to how it came into existence. So our whole present life, if our whole present life existed in the present, then we'd all be telescoped into this single moment. Right? So our present life is a continuity. There's a long continuity into our past life, and our future life is a continuity.
But we're not talking about the future life or the past life. We're talking about the present life.
Oh, well, we're relate this discussion to your past life, your present life, and your future life.
The present life is happening in this moment, and it's a continuity, including your future and past life. You're part of continuity, but
it's still the present is
the present.
Now.
The present is in the present.
So here's what Geshe Sonam Rinchen said. This was this kind of special thing. So, okay, in your present, your past doesn't exist. But in general, past, present, and future exist. At present, your past, who you were yesterday, this was Brian's point, does not exist today. But in general, the past you and the future all exist. So I'm guessing, this is now my guess, I'm leaping into. You know how we talk about the general I and the specific I? The general I is a label that you can put on the continuity of the thing that identifies itself as me when I was a raccoon, and the thing that identifies itself as me when I was a skunk, the thing that identifies itself as me when I was two, and the thing that identifies... Okay, that general I, and then the specific I is the I who I am today, or could be, I think... You can extrapolate that and say it's the I that I am in this life. So in general, yeah, it's this present life is this present life. But it's changing also moment to moment, and I'm not living this whole present life in this present moment. There's a whole lot of accumulation of present moments that have made up this entire life so far. That's my leap. This is a thing from His Holiness, too. The having ceased of things in the past gives shape to what exists now. Who we are is shaped by choices we made in the past by the having ceased of those decisions. That's truly true. I mean, that's really clear. While the past is not occurring now, the fact that it happened and ceased influences what exists now. The condition of having ceased is something. It is something. Yeah, and that takes us into the whole discussion about karma, but right, so, it's tricky.
Or are they teachings?
Yeah.
How important they are now.
Tricky.
Even though they have ceased as far as his teaching about cancer.
Yeah. What else? Anything else on this one? Oops. I'm going to keep going there. Okay. What is the future in relation to the pot? What is the past in relation to the pot? Are they the same as the past pot and the future pot? Which one happens first?
So when we talk about in relationship to the pot, then what is future in relationship to the pot has not yet arisen. And that would be past pot. this future is what is going to come after the pot, which will actually be the past pot. What is past in relationship to the pot means what happened before the pot.
What happened, yeah, so what passed in relationship to the pot is what happened to the pot. So yeah, that's why I had to pull out these visuals, because I had to figure this out. So I think that what you just said means this. In relation to the present, today, January 1, the future of January 1 is tomorrow. No, wait a minute.
Yesterday.
What's the pot in the future? Yet, I don't have it right again. What's the pot's past? What's the pot's past?
Present.
Yesterday. Before there was January 1, there was January 31. December 31. The future of January 1, when we get to tomorrow, January 1 is going to be yesterday. So its future is like that. Does this make sense? Do I have this right? So in this case, past comes first, then the future, then the present, then the future. Looking at it from the point of view of the object. So the cakes, past.
Yesterday was January 1st, future. Tomorrow will be January 1st, past.
Yes.
In relationship to this present
day. In relation to this present day.
Yes.
Thank you.
There has to be a present object that they are in relationship.
Yes, there has to be a present object that they're in relationship to, and that's how we think about it. And this is really more how we think about past, present, and future.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny that it's so confusing. But it is. This is normally how we think about it. But, I mean, my own past, what's my own past? Well, I was younger back then. That preceded who I am today. And when I'm 90 or 63, that's in the future. So that's basically what that means, is kind of looking from the point of view of the object. What's its past? What's its future? Does the present pot exist in the future pot? Does the past pot exist in the future pot or in the present pot? This is where we're refuting the views of the lower schools and the Sankhya's, which we're not going to get into. Does the present pot exist in the future pot? Is there some little future bowl existing inside this little future bowl? No. Does the past pot exist in the future pot or in the present pot?
No.
No. So there's not some parallel universe where past, present, and future are all happening at the same time, which is one view that we can get into. It's kind of a new age view these days. But if things substantially existed, they would have to be like that. They would have to be like that.
Because you'd have a future pot that would already be there, and then there would be an element of a present pot already in that future pot.
Right, but then there would be no point to even posit past, present, and future because the pot would just be.
Yeah.
It would just be.
And we couldn't use it for anything.
And we couldn't use it for anything. It wouldn't even function as a pot.
It wouldn't be a pot.
Yeah. Okay, so that easily to refute. How does this discussion about the Jigpa of actions, future results, etc., relate to karma and its results? Explain how a karmic action brings its result in a future lifetime according to this discussion.
So, Jigpa helps to explain what we're doing today is going to link to whatever result we get in the future life.
Okay, so the Jigpa helps explain that what we're doing today will give us the result in the future life.
Or another way to think about it is, in our previous lives, we all created some collective karma to be here right this minute in a virtuous situation.
In our previous lives, we all created, this is a nice thing to think about, we all created the collective karma to be here together in a virtuous situation.
That action that we did together in the past, whatever that was, ceased. But it didn't cease in a way that became totally non-existent.
Yes, so that action we did in the past ceased, but it did not become totally non-existent.
Because there is a continuity, so that even if something ceases, there's a continuity that comes forward.
Yeah, so even if there's something ceases, the continuity, there is a continuity that comes forward, that is its chupa.
That continuity from the past action we did, however many lifetimes ago, it wasn't something ripening moment by moment as we live between that action and now, but there was some continuity, and it is the chupa, the having ceased of that action, that helps carry that energy until today, when the causes and conditions come together, that we're able to gather here in this room.
Right, so that action, summarize. So the disintegratedness, the having ceased of that action, although it wasn't ripening moment by moment by moment, it had a continuity that when the conditions came together, ripened in us being together in this room.
So what we're doing now
is creating causes for the future.
Yeah.
This was also something that Jeffrey said that I thought was very succinct and clear. He said, in the consequent school, something that has happened and is disintegrating, and he uses disintegratedness, whereas Venerable uses having happened or having ceased. That's beside the point. That's what he uses. That having disintegrated is caused, and that having disintegrated is sufficient to produce an effect. And so it's said that an action, giving, for example, practicing generosity, it's disintegrating, and its having disintegrated is caused. And that alone is sufficient, and he said, this is almost mysterious, it's sufficient to produce an effect. Therefore, you don't need to posit like they do in the Vaibhashika school, a non-wasted factor. The whole point is about tying the karmic cause to the karmic effect. That's the whole point of this whole thing about the jigpa and how each philosophical system tries to explain how that happens. And so with this, which he says is quite elegant, I think it's nice, is that this disintegrating alone is sufficient to produce an effect. So you don't have to have a mind basis of all, like they posit in the mind-only school, or you don't have to have this wastage thing that they posit in the Vaibhashika school, or you don't have to have a subtle mental consciousness to tie the karmic cause, which they do in the Sutra school. So it's just that. It's just that. And this is again where the example that Venerable had from another teaching, and this was also from His Holiness, that it's a metaphor, but it's the same thing. It's like if you learned typing as a skill, where does that skill or capacity reside? But it's not like your typing skill is ripening moment by moment by moment by moment by moment by moment by moment, but you sit down a keyboard, there it is. The conditions have arisen, come together. And the continuity of that learning is still there. So the Prasangikas say it does not have to reside somewhere findable. So then he says, what causes the result, the past skill with the future moments of doing the same action? That is the jigpa. The thing that links. What connects the cause with the result, the past skill with the future moments of doing the same action? This is the having ceased, the jigpa.
Karma is not like that.
One action can produce multiple exists. Yeah, one karmic action can produce multiple effects, and it ripens in multiple ways. So it's, yeah, it's not, you can't, karma's not like, I do an action here and get a result over here and that's it.
That's why purification works.
Purification works because?
Well, because you can change the causes and the conditions, and so that action is not, doesn't necessarily come right.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I was thinking about it, like if you throw a rock into a pond, you can see all the different ripples that come from it as opposed to just one straight line.
Yeah, it's nice. So, for the camera, Jim is saying that if you throw a rock in the pond, multiple ripples come out from that as a way of thinking about the result of an action. And so just as purification can somehow affect, not eliminate necessarily, but affect how our negative actions ripen. In the same way, our moments of anger or our wrong views can influence how our virtuous karma doesn't or does ripen. So, yeah.
We talk about like karmic effects being in that way transferred from this life to perhaps the next life, many lives for me.
Yeah.
But, and you use an example like tidy suit, but that doesn't transfer, so there's something quite different there.
Yeah, so Brian's saying that we're talking about karmic effects going forward, but we're using an example like typing skill, so it's a metaphor. It's just an example of, it's just an example. Yeah. You have a...
I think that could be argued, though.
That it doesn't, it's not the same?
You have to.
Well, actually, it's true. I think, go for it.
So, you look at, the argument for considering labor, and, you look at children who are musical geniuses. So, typing is kind of similar to playing the piano, and that all that practice that happened in previous lives gets carried forward and the causes and conditions come together when this kid gets the opportunity to play the piano. And so...
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
It does get carried forward when the causes and conditions come together.
Yeah, so Venerable Sumpton is citing an example someone who has a history of music, a musical experience, lots of music experience, and then the conditions come together in the next life, and that kid sits down to a piano and there it is still. And we see that in prodigies. There's somebody's progeny. Yeah.
One of the effects of different actions karmically is the tendency to possibly do that kind of action again. So
right.
That makes a lot of sense.
Right. So one of the results of karma is the habit, or to do the action again, to have the habit to do the action again repeatedly, and so that's illustrated there. Yeah, it's true. Which was also, I was thinking about that today too in terms of this. That's why making good habits is so important, because this continuity goes forward. Yeah. Okay. Oh well. There's another good example here of how this would go forward. So there's a, for instance, Tom encourages and gives support to his friend who's feeling down. The action ceases, leaving its having ceased. The having ceased also disintegrates and produces another having ceased, and that jiggy, 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 and continues into the future. The future, who is the continuity of Tom, now is Linda, is in a situation where she needs someone's kind words and a friend is nearby. The friend who's nearby is the cooperative condition for the having ceased of Tom supporting his friend in the past, now bearing its result with Linda in the future. And so Linda experiences the happiness of receiving the support of a friend from that past action. Cool example. Okay, we got to move on because I'm pushing it. What are the disadvantages of saying that the future and past are inherently existent?
None.
There are no disadvantages to saying that.
There are no advantages to saying it.
What are the disadvantages? Yeah, that's exactly, yeah. For people, you'd have to say the past can't disintegrate because it's permanent. Present, I mean, the future can't come because it's permanent. There would be no past, there would be no future. Things don't work. They just plain can't work. I don't think that there's any other... Yeah, if, like the Satchantrikas, you assert that your future suffering exists as truly existent, permanent, static, metaphysical entity, then you could say that you would already be liberated. Because that metaphysical, static suffering in the future could never become present suffering. So I must be liberated now.
Without doing anything.
So, and this was sort of a summation. We keep coming to the same point over and over. If things have their nature that is independent of causes and conditions, then they can't exist. They just plain can't exist. Nothing works. So we have to wrap our mind around this. His Holiness, this is sort of the point of this whole thing. While the present has priority over the past and future in terms of its being more imminent, when we probe deeper into the nature of time and examine the present, inquiring into where and when it exists, the present becomes unfindable. When did it become 2015? We'll never find it. Blah, blah, blah. Shorten this thing. While we can never pinpoint what moment and say, this is the real present. Without the present, concepts of past and future don't make sense. Therefore, we must conclude that these conventions of past, present, and future operate within a relative framework. Right. So that's the point. I mean, we have to keep coming to this again, again, again. Like every chapter. Again, again, again. Everything that arises to be. What is that thing? To be is to be continuously disintegrating. To be is to be continuously disintegrating, and therefore that findable, discrete, permanent, solid, partless thing that we think everything is cannot be. Absolutely cannot be.
It is disintegrating, but it's also creating nonstop.
Yes, it is disintegrating, it's also creating nonstop.
Because then there would be an end.
Right.
So we're creating into something else.
Woohoo!
Well, and that's my summary here. Have faith that your future bodhicitta and your future Buddhahood exist. They're not. They haven't attained their entity at this moment. But our future bodhicitta and our future Buddhahood exist. Therefore, we have to create the causes now. For the future to become an actual future object, you have to have the causes for it.
So we want to disintegrate our bad habits.
Yes, we want to disintegrate our bad habits and we want to create good habits. So we're creating for causes to that to become a present object. And we dedicate our merit for that. And that our dedicating our merit also then carries forward in sending things in that direction. It's cool, huh? Okay, good job, folks. We're done.
Great job.
Hoi, hoi, hoi. Thank you. Gonna ripen in my future being a clockmaker or something. I broke another clock last night. I've broken 3 clocks in the last since we've been getting these teachings. It's very interesting. Okay, let's dedicate. Anything online? Thank you very much. All right. Due to this merit, may we soon attain the awakened state of Guru Buddha, that we may be able to liberate all sentient beings from their suffering. May the precious Bodhi mind, not yet born, arise and grow. May that born have no decline, but increase forevermore. In the snowy mountain pure land, you're the source of good and happiness.
Powerful Tenzin Gyatso Tenrezi, may you stay until samsara.